Ephesians chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 10 to verse 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Amen.
Amen. For the break over the last two Sunday services, looking at the children of Israel trudging through Exodus, but of God's wonderful provision for them, carrying them on eagle's wings, bringing them to himself. What a wonderful God that we serve. And we're going back into the book of Ephesians, described as the Alps of the New Testament, giving us a towering vision of God's purpose for his church. And that purpose is for us to reflect the likeness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For us to do that, we must be filled, we must be led, we must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, it gives us four evidences of God's Holy Spirit filling us, leading us, empowering us. And they all begin with the letter S. And we've been looking at a number of them already. First of all, it will affect our speech. We'll be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It will affect our singing as well. Singing and making music in our hearts to the Lord. It will affect our submission, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're filled with the Spirit. We're led with the Spirit. Lastly, it will affect our standing firm in the Lord and in his mighty power. And this morning we're going to reflect on the greatness of God's power. The Bible reveals that God is all-powerful. The words that we use to describe that is omnipotent, which means that God possesses unlimited power. The word omnipotent appears once in the Bible if you have a King James Version. If you don't, it doesn't appear. That verse that we read, Revelation 19:6. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. The Lord God almighty, all-powerful reigns. The word omnipotent appears in a shout of triumph from the multitudes in heaven in response to an announcement from God. That announcement was that Babylon, a name given God gives to the world system, united in opposition against God, under the power of Satan, in the last days, was soon to be destroyed. God gives an announcement. So great is God's power that heaven is recorded as rejoicing following the announcement as if it had already taken place. So great is God's power. In this announcement from heaven, God's omnipotence, God's all power is linked with God reigning. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. To reign, God must have power, and to reign supremely, as God does, God must have all power. God's all power is expressed in Daniel chapter 4. The king and ruler of the original Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar, because of his pride and his arrogance towards God, was greatly humbled by God to teach him that heaven, that God rules. And here is his recorded words following God's judgment and his recovery to a right attitude towards God. He said, God's dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? What an incredible reversal in the life of that proud, once proud king. God reigns supremely over heaven and earth. And he does so because he is omnipotent. And although the word only appears once in the Bible, if you've got a KJV, the concept, the idea of a God who is all-powerful or almighty is found throughout the Bible. This morning we're going to do a little bit of research, study, wider study on this theme of God's omnipotence. God's omnipotence is revealed in some of God's names. The word Almighty occurs 56 times in the Bible, and it's only ever used of God. And here's a few references. Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Exodus 6, God says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. And then in Revelation chapter 4, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then we've got God's name Elohim, which means God the Supreme One, possessing fullness of power. And that supreme power and authority is displayed in God's work of creation, out of nothing, by command alone. And by that same command and power, God sustains all creation. God's omnipotence is revealed in the fact that God is named Power. Jesus, in his trial with the Jewish authorities, Matthew 26, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, referring to God the Father, seated on the throne in heaven. God is so powerful that he is named Power. Then the title, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, after Christ's death on the cross, God raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, place of power in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for his church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God's omnipotence is revealed in his names. God's omnipotence is also revealed from descriptions about God's power. We have these words, power belongs to God. When David was assailed by his enemies, David pronounces, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God." Which means there's no power but that which belongs to Him. Another description, God has power to do whatever He pleases. God has power to do whatever He pleases. Psalm 115, "But our God is in heaven, He does whatever He pleases." That's unlimited power to be able to do that. Or another wonderful expression in the Bible, "Nothing is too hard for God." Jeremiah 32, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Similar words were spoken to Mary in Luke chapter 1. "Nothing is impossible with God." With respect to God enabling the Messiah, God's Son, to be conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we've got titles, names of God, descriptions about God's power. In the Bible, we have examples of God's omnipotent power. Creation, God's powerful work of creation from no existing matter by the word of God's command. Then we've got the flood, God's powerful work of judgment upon the inhabitants of the earth because of their grievous sinfulness. God submerged the entire earth in a flood. And then by His power, He restored the earth again. So creation, flood. Then we've got the word Israel. God formed a mighty nation, as numerous as the stars in the sky, through Abraham and Sarai, past the age of childbearing. Sarai was barren. God, by His power, formed a mighty nation. Promised land. God bringing His people to the promised land, giving it to them as their possession. Despite His people's waywardness, the obstacles that they faced, the mighty nations against them, God led them to His promised land. God, by His power. Exile, that's another loaded word in the Bible vocabulary. When God's people, Israel, repeatedly broke His covenant, God in judgment sent them away to Babylon. And after 70 years that God had previously prophesied, He enabled them to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and restore the city, despite all the opposition that they faced. Exile. See, God's almighty power. We see God's omnipotent power in Jesus Christ. God's power demonstrated in and through His Son, His virgin birth, His immaculate conception, the miracles that He performed. It's a taster, John's Gospel, water into the best wine, healing the royal official's son from a distance. At the exact time He said, "Your son may live." Healing instantaneously a man paralyzed for 38 years. Feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus walking on water. Jesus healing a man born blind. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the grave. Jesus raising Himself from the grave. And He did so much more. John tells us that if everything were written down about the things that Jesus did, the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And then we've got God's omnipotent power in salvation and the gospel. The gospel is the power. The word means dynamite, dynamis, the power of God by which he saves, brings to new life, new birth, a relationship with God, eternal life. Everyone who believes in Christ's sacrifice for their sins. And then God's power in the church. God revealing his power through his worldwide family of believers. Ephesians 1, God's incomparably great power for us who believe. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? God's incomparably great power for us who believe. 2 Peter 1, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Wonderful words of Isaiah 40. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. The Presbyterian pastor, A.B. Simpson, approaching middle age, broken in health, deeply despondent, ready to quit ministry, chanced to hear the simple Negro spiritual, "Nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like him." And its message sped like an arrow to his heart, carrying faith and hope and life for body and soul. He sought a place of retirement. And after a season alone with God, he arose to his feet, completely cured, and went forth in fullness of joy to found what has since become one of the largest foreign missionary societies in the world. So just think about it. He was all ready to quit his ministry in his church, right? Even the one church, the church that God had called him, he was about to quit it. And after that time in God's presence and God stirring him and speaking to him, he founds one of the largest missionary societies in the world called WEC, Worldwide Evangelization for Christ. What a turnaround! Even the one church, and now the whole world, a vision to reach the whole world. Isn't that incredible? And for 35 years after this encounter with God, he labored prodigiously in the service of Christ. And his faith in the God of limitless power gave him all the strength he needed to carry on. And we need to have that vision of God's power, God's almighty power in our lives, in the gospel, but also in his church. A question for us to think in closing. Well, if God is omnipotent and he's supremely reigning in the earth, why do we not see greater evidence of God's reign on the earth? Why do we see evil and suffering and natural disasters and pandemics and death appearing to be reigning upon the earth? Why does God even allow people to suffer, even his people to suffer? Well, the Bible tells us it's because evil and suffering and death and natural disasters are the results of God's judgment, God's fitting judgment upon a world which has rebelled against him, a world which has corrupted their natures, a world which remains in an attitude of indifference, hostility against God. And God's people living in such a world, they share in those consequences. And God does deliver us, but he doesn't always. However, God has provided a way of salvation for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be reconciled to God, for sin's power to be broken in our hearts, for us to have a hope beyond death of eternal life with God in a new heaven and earth. And that way of salvation is the sacrifice of God's Son made on the cross. And through accepting Christ's sacrifice, we experience God's powerful salvation. And if we reject it, we will face God's powerful judgment when Jesus Christ returns. Eternal punishment in hell. A judgment originally intended for Satan and his demons, who war continually against God. But if we reject the only salvation, Satan's fate and destiny will be our terrible destiny as well. But following that judgment, God will by his omnipotent power make everything new again, even better than the original creation. The world marred by mankind's sin will go through an experience of death and resurrection. And the result will be glorious beyond our comprehension. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Trustworthy and true. We've discovered this morning that God is all powerful. Despite appearances to the contrary, at times, God is seated on his throne in heaven, the place of power. His name is Power. Heaven rules. Nebuchadnezzar realized that. I trust that we realize that in our lives. As Dominic said, we make our plans and then God laughs. Because it's God's purpose that prevails, doesn't it? God's purpose that prevails. And as believers, we should have that perspective. Yours, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may that fact Give us great peace. Give us peace and confidence in God. May it stir our hearts to worship. And may it stir us and may it empower us for service as well. And we've been learning this morning how God can strengthen us and equip us in our weakness to serve Him and mightily equip us and empower us to do so. Those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Are you feeling faint this morning? If you're feeling faint this morning, oh, you can experience God's almighty power in you. He can strengthen you. He can clothe you with power. That's what He said to the disciples. Wait and you will receive power from high. You'll be clothed with power. God has wonderful new clothes to give us. Strength in our weakness, empowering us, envisioning us, stirring our hearts to worship Him, and making everything new. God can do a new work in our hearts, in our lives, even this morning as we hear. God can do a new thing. As we open our hearts to Him, as we trust in Him, as we believe in Him, God's power for those who believe. We're going to trust in Him. We're going to claim that promise this morning. We're going to stand on Him and follow the long trail of example of people throughout history, biblical history, Abraham, Sarai, good as dead. God raised them up. And there have been many examples throughout history.